All right, Skyward Sword HD came out semi-recently, and a lot of people, including myself, was their first time playing it, even after playing Breath of the Wild. And you two both played Skyward Sword beforehand, right, on the Wii?
Yes.
Yep.
And what was your...
We're gamers.
Yeah, you're OG gamers, real we're Legend official of Zelda fans.
Yeah, we're not fake or anything.
It was definitely one I've skipped. Actually, I think I've skipped... I haven't played any Zelda as it came out besides Breath of the Wild.
I think
and now Skyward Sword HD, I guess.
I think a lot of people skip Skyward Sword.
A lot of people being like basically everyone.
Pretty much
I think
everybody.
If you ask someone what Legend of Zelda haven't they played, if they've played the entire series, Skyward Sword is probably the one that they've skipped. Just as a random generalization, just going to make that claim.
Is that because of the motion controls? Or because it was on the Wii, and the Wii was a super popular console.
I think it came out at like the end of the Wii's life cycle, and that was kind of like, you know, no, everyone had moved on from it. So
to what they weren't, I guess, the 3DS, because you know, no one moved on to the Wii U.
That's true. But, yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I think it was just the end of the life cycle. The motion controls turned a lot of people off, and then it just. I think the word of mouth grew pretty quickly. People were like, this isn't really like a really good Zelda game. And so they kind of just spread it. People were like, oh, guess I'm not going to play it then. So everyone skipped it.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's good. I feel like it's good that we have multiple perspectives on this to see how it kind of stacks up to Breath of the Wild. And what's it like going back to a traditional, I would say, Legend of Zelda game in a post Breath of the Wild world?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that was definitely one of the big deterring factors too for a lot of people was just the fact that this game came out and it was the way that it was, and you know, Nintendo was also going through like this weird phase where, like, you know, we were getting 3D Land, and then I guess we eventually got 3D World. It just seemed like they had a very weird track on how they were putting these games out, and people didn't like them, and we thought that was just the way things were going to be.
Not too much innovation, you would say, really?
I guess Skyward Sword's innovation was motion controls, and that was an innovation people didn't like. And
But I mean, know, is it really? Twilight Princess had the motion controls as well, though. If you played on Wii,
it had Waggle.
Yeah, but yeah. That was like a second thought. Yeah. That wasn't intended for
not
the
like
game.
1-to-1, but I mean, it wasn't necessarily like super new.
So
yeah,
I guess we'll talk about the motion controls first. I have mixed feelings about the motion controls. I love the idea, and I kind of love how it was implemented. I think when it works really, really well. It made every encounter fun. It made it engaging. Instead of, you know, I feel like most Legend of Zelda games have pretty meh combat besides Breath of the Wild.
Sure.
But definitely the motion controls and like the 1-to-1 sword aiming and parrying and things made every fight pretty fun. The problem is that the Joy-Cons were super inaccurate, and Joy-Con drift kind of ruined the entire thing for me.
Yeah, Joy-Con drift really messed that up.
How was it on the Wii Motion Plus? Did you guys, how bad was the accuracy on it?
People really complained about that, and I don't remember ever having issues with it.
Me neither, honestly. It was the biggest complaint. And
really?
The only thing I can remember having to do, and Ryan, you can back me up on this, is every once in a while, the game would ask you to set down the Wiimote on like a stable surface. It would recalibrate.
Yeah.
Which I think it wanted you to do like once every like hour or so. I can't recall how often it wanted you to do that. But besides that, I never really had issues. It felt like it tracked it pretty well. I enjoyed it. I was really surprised when I, because I played Skyward Sword a few years after it came out, which is rare for me because I like Zelda so much, but I was turned away because pretty much the entire community and fan base was like, this game isn't good. So I was expecting the motion controls to just be crap, like just to not work at all. And then when I was playing the first few hours and I basically every motion I was doing, the Wiimote was catching, I was like, I don't understand what the hate was because I don't have any issues.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I wonder if like certain controllers, like, you know, because I had like an old Wiimote and with a Wii Motion Plus attachment, but you could also just buy Wiimotes without the attachment. It just came with Wii Motion Plus. I wonder if like those didn't work as well or something, or, you know, some people just had faulty controllers, which ruined everything.
I mean, that could be it. Kind of like the drift from the Joy-Cons.
Oh, just, the drift is so bad. It
was widespread enough for people to keep talking about it, but I just didn't really have that issue.
I had to recalibrate the recalibration thing with the Switch, I had to recalibrate almost constantly. Like it was before, during, maybe after every single fight. It was, and the thing, it makes this like ding noise every time you do it too. So it's just
a button press though, right?
It's just a button. You point to the screen and do the button press, but it kind of kills the immersion when you have to do it every 5 seconds.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even change my position and it would uncalibrate like how my sword was being held. And I don't know how it would do. Like I thought it was me at first, but like after a while, and I was like kind of testing by like not moving at all, it was definitely the controllers. And it was pretty infuriating. But like when it worked, I really enjoyed the combat. Even against like the basic Bokoblins, just because you had to like swing in the direction they weren't blocking in.
Yeah, couldn't just waggle mindlessly.
And the execution move was fun too, because like you like kind of like shoved your hands forward, like you're really just trying to thrust it into them.
Yeah, just really give it to them. Did you ever try the button controls?
I did. The button controls were they take a little bit to get used to, because you flick up to swing from down to up. You think it'd be kind of like,
right?
You'd start down and then go up. No, it's one flick. I think they work really well, but you can't use
the camera, right? Because it's on the right. You can't use the camera at all, right?
What do you mean? The camera?
Like you can't. I think you can use the camera. Sword controls are on the right, like the analog stick,
I thought.
Yeah, so you lose the third person camera control when you do that. And that was the biggest, that's why I essentially didn't use the button controls the entire time. Because I wanted to switch to button controls, but I didn't want to sacrifice the third person camera.
You still got camera control, but you had to like, you would have to hold down the shoulder button or something like that.
I must have missed that. I saw people
talking about that where you couldn't use the camera, and I guess maybe more people didn't realize you could hold down another button to like use the camera.
I've heard people that know about it say that it was a little clunky to do that anyways, but you know, it's still there.
The button controls, I thought, were pretty good for what they were. I'm glad they added them in for sure. I think they feel, and this still makes combat pretty fun to do. If not, it'd probably get a little bit easy if once you learn like kind of how it works, because you can really just spam it.
Yeah. Yeah, and it kind of, I feel like it works nice because then it, you know, Skyward Sword's always been kind of locked into, it has to be on the Wii or the Wii U because it has to have a Wii controller, because it has to have motion controls. So now we're always going to have like gyro controls or some sort of method of motion controls on a console, but we've kind of immortalized it now in that we've gotten a version that has button controls. So someday if we ever...
So yeah, that's what made me mad, is that they tried to force everything to have like a gimmicky motion control thing. Like the flying didn't need to have that. The flying like broke my wrist.
Oh god, waggling to fly is the dumbest decision that game made.
It physically hurt my wrist. Yeah. And I don't know, it kind of sounds whiny, but like you have to fly quite a bit.
You have to flap a lot to get across the sky.
The fast travel was kind of locked behind the amiibo in a way. Like the pseudo fast travel.
Yeah.
Which was really dumb. Like, I don't know why they did that.
I don't get why they have like weird, I get wanting to like make amiibos like useful, but it also sucks. I feel like the amiibos should be like cosmetic unlocks at most, which.
I don't know why they make amiibos do anything at all now, because they immediately sell out no matter what. There's no incentive for them to make them do anything.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not now, like we're buying them just for the game function.
It's at the expense of the consumer at this point, because all the scalpers prevent the consumers from getting the extra functionality.
Yeah.
Like it's a lose-lose.
It doesn't really make any sense. I don't get it. Maybe they just feel like, you know, the Zelda amiibo we're selling for more money. We have to give them an extra reason other than the fact that the figure, even though it's like, I will happily buy that. I didn't buy that. But if I did buy that, I wouldn't have been buying it because I was like, well, I got fast travel and Skyward Sword. I'm buying it because I think the figure's cool. I don't use any of my amiibos. They just look pretty on my shelf.
I've never bought an amiibo, but I've been around people with a ton of amiibos and I've never used them for... I tried them in Breath of the Wild once to get like a chest. And I'm like, okay, that's kind of interesting. And then I never did it again.
I did get the Fierce Deity armor in Breath of the Wild because I got the Majora's Mask.
Amiibo. Oh, I didn't know that was a thing. That's cool.
That was pretty cool. Not to brag or anything. But anyways.
Skyrim Sword. Cough, brag. Cough, Majora's Mask is the best. Cough, cough,
Majora's Mask. That's right.
We fooled you. You thought this was about Skyward Sword. It's Majora's. Actually about Majora's Mask, the best game in the
all
series.
Of our Zelda, all of our Zelda talks are just going to be constant Majora's Mask circle jerks.
You're like, man, I like what they did here. But Majora's Mask, though.
But like, Majora's Mask did a little better.
There's going to be people being like, oh, actually, Majora's Mask isn't that good. Shut up.
It's cool. Not important.
Okay. It's just cool. I just think they're neat. Hold to hold masks.
Just think they're...
anyway, back on topic. Motion controls. So I hated how they put them into everything, but it did make the boss fights, especially the Gearheim fight, Gearheim?
I think, yeah.
Whatever you say.
You know, those... I bothered to look up how to pronounce Fi. I did not bother to look up how to pronounce Gearheim before this.
I don't think the community even knows how to pronounce Fi or Fi, because I've heard everyone say either way.
Well, no one says it, so.
Yeah.
Unless they say it in, like, a direct somewhere.
Yeah.
The Gearheim fights.
I just assume it's Gearheim because that's how you would say it in Japanese. So I would assume that's how they would put it into English.
We'll go with that. His boss fights were the best boss fights in the entire series.
Yeah,
the Gearheim. Like hands down for me.
Yeah, his bosses are, or his fights are a lot of fun. And he's just like also like just a very flashy and fun flamboyant kind of character in that.
Yeah, he's fun to see on screen.
Makes it even it's just he's just like, even though it's like I gotta kill you and I don't like you because you did the thing then that's bad, it's also like, but like I also like come on Gary, you and I we're gonna duke it out. It's gonna
be he also taunts you, which is really fun. Like if you keep messing up, he's just like, yeah, you idiot.
There's one time he showed up and then we didn't get to fight him and I'm like, oh no, come back. It was like, I think it was at the end of the desert temple in the first time you visit.
Yeah,
he's there but you don't get to fight him.
Sad grump noises.
Sad. And you only get the
fight. We really do be out here seeing like, man, which is sure do love these repetitive boss fights with Gearheim. But there's another repetitive boss fight in this game. Bum. I think we all have a lot of love for.
What would they call them? Is it the Forsaken, the Unchained, the Unleashed? The
Imprisoned.
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 Where you just gotta hit him in the foot a lot.
Oh my gosh. A lot of I didn't want to, like, I heard everybody complain about this fight. And I'm like, oh, it can't be that bad. It's pretty bad. Like, it stuck with me at how bad it was. Like, it didn't ruin my Skyward Sword experience, but it was definitely like my least favorite part of the game. Is the third time you fight him? Ooh, it was also like only a couple hours after you fight him the second time too.
Oh, it's just funny because it feels like that meme where it's like, wake up, Link, it's time to fight the imprisoned again. Yes, honey.
It's like 5 p.m.
and then even better is you know, if you're going for that completionist run, baby, getting all that good because you're a true gamer. There's a boss rush mode where you get to fight him three more times.
You have to fight him every time in boss rush? The really? Different
fights? Crap, how dare you?
Are you kidding me?
So your boy out here with like a grand total of 6 fights just to 100% the game.
Is there a fight between Imprisoned 2 and Imprisoned 3? Is there a boss fight between those?
Probably, I don't remember.
There probably is.
Is there?
But
I don't know. Hold on.
Isn't that when you're doing the whole like Silent Realm stuff, whatever that's called?
The thing that I didn't care for with the Imprisoned in particular just was the stress of him climbing up the you know,
I like
the anxiety spiral.
I like
yeah
the
it's
stress.
Really anxiety inducing and then having to do it 3 times, I'm like, oh my god, I have to make sure he doesn't get up there, and he's gonna go up there faster this time because it's the third time, it's gonna be harder than the last time. I know it will be.
I like the stress of it.
No, I don't like the stress.
I didn't like the fact that the feet trample you so easily. Like, your moveset isn't really set to fight the feet. And I tried landing on top of them a bunch, and it worked the first time I fought him. But the other 2 times, I couldn't land on top of his head very well.
Yeah, so you definitely can't do that. I also feel like that fight is probably a bit easier with button controls because you just spam your sword back and forth.
You could probably do that. You can also shoot his toes with arrows as well.
Yeah,
I wonder if you can do it with the beetle.
Use his proper name, please.
Steve?
It's Steve, yes.
Steve the Beetle.
Best boy.
So, context.
Steedle.
Tip calls the Beetle Steve.
If you don't, you know.
because we already have a Beetle in this game, and his name is Beetle.
Yeah. Oh! Well, I had to name him because you can't just say the Beetle because we already have Beetle. And just the first thing that popped in my head was Steve.
We'll talk about Beetle later.
Really early on in the game. And Steve is your bro the entire game. He keeps upgrading him. He keeps helping with the dungeons. He gets items for you.
Steve is so slow for the longest time.
Okay, Steve is methodical in his approach.
Speedy Steve is all right, but they make you use him so much.
Super Steve. Again, use his canonical name. Oh my
gosh. Someone's a bug enthusiast.
Yes. It's the only reason why I like Skyward Sword. You were the bug
enthusiast, Grip. What the heck?
He hurt my hand.
Out here with all your bug Pokemon.
I do love
that. I don't like Steve.
That is ironic.
Yeah, why don't you like Steve?
Because he hurt my hand.
Okay, so sometimes the ones we love the most hurt us. It's just fine. You just get
Joy-Con drift made me lose seconds off my life.
Okay. You were going to use those seconds for something productive, obviously.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Like fighting the imprisoned.
If you wanted to do something productive, you wouldn't be playing Skyward Sword.
Shut up. Anyway. Anything else on motion controls? I mean, that's kind of a big thing of Skyward Sword.
I think people
one of the defining features.
Either love them or you hate them kind of thing, where it's just like you either are fine with motion controls or you despise them and you want to chuck your Wiimote out the window.
I would love them if Joy-Con drift wasn't a thing. I think that's really the defining feature, because it gave me a lot of, because I can live with Joy-Con drift in most games. Couldn't do it in Skyward Sword. It had a definite impact.
And when you're saying Joy-Con drift, you're talking about gyro stuff. You're not talking about the Joy-Con joystick.
Not the joystick.
Or are you talking about
stick?
That?
I'm talking about the motion detection.
Oh, okay.
That's what that is, right? Oh.
Well, generally when people say Joy-Con drift, they're talking about the stick ghosting that you're moving
that,
to like
that
the left
also
or whatever.
Happened, but that didn't affect me. The yeah, motion so being dropped. Like, I thought they were the same cause.
No. I don't know what you'd call it. I guess I'd just say
I would call that gyro drift.
Yeah,
gyro
drift.
All right, we're coining it Twitter hashtag end of gyro drift.
Yeah, we're trademarking that. You can't take it. It's ours now.
Also, and gyro drift for the one game that uses it.
Because you have like literally like anything in front, like a speck of dust between you and the Switch, and then your gyro controls just get all messed up on top of it.
True.
And then sometimes it just feels like not working at all. Like,
yeah,
I don't know what to say.
Yeah, I could definitely, I mean, because it, you know, a lot of times you only need the gyro for like aim in other games.
Gyro aim is great.
It works great in like Breath of the Wild when you're just using it for arrows, but then you have to like pull it out for those, you know, the shrines, and it's like, you know, hell on earth. So it's like, you know, it sounds like it's not so bad that it's completely and totally miserable, like some people might have said it would have been for Breath of the Wild, but I can definitely see how it would be painful to have to recalibrate it like every time you use it.
Yeah, that's just tedious.
Yeah, luckily it is down to like a single button. I guess it'd be nice if it didn't make a noise every time you used it. But
yeah, so would you guys say that motion controls were a positive aspect of Skyward Sword, and would you want it again in a future Zelda title? At least I'll say sword controls, because I could care less if they implement it for other stuff, really. I feel
I never want to flap again.
I don't want to
really
flap again.
I have to use motion controls to ride Epona. That's really what I want.
God, no.
Stop.
I really want to. I want to feel like I'm throwing the bomb.
Okay, so the bomb rolling was
fun.
Saying,
like, bomb rolling
Sword.
Was really good.
Hold
though.
On, that was actually one of my favorite uses of it. Actually, like rolling the bomb like a bowling ball.
Mm-hmm.
That was fun. They should bring that back.
Yeah, I don't. I'm curious to know if how that worked with button controls, because that's
you probably just flicked it or just pressed a button.
I guess.
I don't know. You had to get pretty precise with some of the bowling sometimes.
You could like curve it too. Yeah, that was cool.
That's why I don't. How would that work with button controls? Oh man.
I don't know. I don't think you ever needed to curve it.
I think for some of the like heart pieces and stuff like that, you had to do some decently tricky bomb bowling stuff. But I don't think
wasn't
for the
there
story
like a whole mini game around it.
There was, yeah.
I mean, God forbid they have a mechanic in there. They don't make an entire mini game that center like
Nintendo would die
around it. I don't think they're physically capable of not doing that.
Yeah,
the Minesweeper minigame was like one of my favorites. I love the Minesweeper minigame. The rupee digging thingy majigger.
Yeah. That was fun.
That was fun. The clown thing was not very fun, but
you didn't like Fun Island?
The Fun Fun
Island. It's literally called Fun Island, Gary. How could you not say that?
This little dude.
How can you say it's not fun? It's two funs, Gary.
Because it wasn't that hard. But I mean, I guess it's
hard island, Gary. It's called Fun Island.
You did get to max out your wallet really, really fast doing that.
That's why they call it Fun Island.
It's fun for your wallet. All right. So let's move on to... Do you want to move on to story? I guess we'll move on to story.
Story.
So this story is, according to the timeline, is the first in the entire saga. It's like it starts the legend or the cycle.
Yeah, you finally know why the games are called The Legend of Zelda. It only took 35 years.
So I thought the intro was the strongest out of most of the Zeldas, you know, besides Majora's Mask.
In comparison to the other games, I thought you were saying the strongest part of the game. I was like, wow.
No, most Zelda's intros are the slowest things in existence, and I hate them with all of my life.
Well, yeah. Princess intensifies that whole thing with that early like farming town.
It was the worst.
Wanted to die.
Ocarina's opening is not that good, but it's also not too bad. Wind Waker's a slow. Oh, Wind Waker sucks. Oh,
baby, it's slow.
And then Breath of the Wild yeah. is good on the first playthrough, but if you're doing it again, you're just like, man, I just want to get off Tutorial Island.
Yeah, it's Tutorial Plateau.
Tutorial Plateau.
Mind you, how dare you? It's not too bad though. Once you know how to finish those shrines and like finish them, you can beat.
It's pretty open to how you approach it too, so you don't have to do it in any order really.
No,
which is cool.
Yeah.
Skyward
Sword is famously hated for its opening. Everyone thinks it sucks and it's awful.
I'm surprised. I liked it. Tutorial. Heaven forbid they give Zelda
that
a character
really
arc.
Probably speaks to the remake or the remaster of this. Remaster.
Well, it changes the text speed, right?
There's like there's certain parts that just get like skipped over entirely. Like they don't make you do it anymore.
Yeah. They don't make you immediately like talk to some of the townsfolk.
Yeah, there was like an example where they like cut like a tutorial in half. They showed it on their like Twitter or whatever that, you know,
yeah,
you climb up a box and it's like, now move forward to jump over this gap. And it's like the most obvious thing ever. But they just like skip that part entirely in this because I'd be like, who on earth needs that?
Wow, I didn't know that part too. Wow, that's great.
Yeah, they trim a lot of the fat from the tutorial.
I'd say for me, it was a pretty long opening. It was definitely one of the longer openings, which I'm like, okay, I generally don't like longer openings, but at least they kept it kind of interesting. I feel like it'd be agonizing in the original release then. Wow.
Yeah.
Imagine playing, you played Master Mode too, right, Ryan?
I did play Master
Mode. And I guess Death too. So you had to go through that. You're like, yeah, I already know all these.
Yeah, and it's funny because I don't remember that being... I don't remember going through the tutorial when I played Master Mode and be like, oh my god, why am I here? Like, I just played the game.
Maybe you needed to refresh it.
Yeah.
I definitely didn't know the controls at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah, that
was really just to refamiliarize myself with the good people of Skyloft.
Yeah. And so, I mean, and then even after the opening, the entire game is pretty... linear. It's definitely more linear than most Legend of Zeldas before Breath of the Wild are linear, but they it's kind of even more linear in Skyward Sword, right?
Yeah, there's at least some exploration where it wouldn't call it like open world, but there's like open regions where you can go find people to do things. You can find heart pieces. You can go and fight off some enemies randomly in some corner of the world. But Skyward Sword is really, you land in a region, you go towards the temple, you beat the temple, you fly back up to the Skyloft, rinse and repeat, you know, five times, yeah, six times.
The sky is kind of supposed to be your exploratory area, I guess. Some
heavy quotation marks.
Yeah, the sky kind of sucks though, because you get like what, a few treasure chests, and then there's like the one pumpkin bar
place. Yeah, pumpkin inn. I do really wish that there were more like larger islands up there.
Yeah,
yeah.
They took the Great Sea and made it uninteresting and called it the sky. That's what Skyloft is, honestly.
I think it would have been really cool too if it had more stuff to do in it.
Yeah, it could have been awesome. It's kind of just blah.
I got really excited when I found Beetle's like secret island thing, but when I actually did the thing that takes you to Beetle's island, you'd like don't do anything there. So I'm like, oh, I thought it might have been like a secret black market shop. Ooh, this is kind of cool. No, yeah.
You can just talk to your boy.
You get like a heart piece, maybe, I think.
You get something, I don't remember what.
But it's for like a sub quest, I think, but it's not exciting at all. I know that. I forgot about it, so that tells you.
Yeah, and it's...
And then there's Fun Island, which is just a mini game.
Yep.
And that's it. I think that's it.
You got the big cloudy area that's got some...
The big cloudy area kind of sucks.
Yeah, that's the worst part of Skyloft, honestly.
There's even less to do in there.
And it's a bigger area, so you have to flap for longer.
You still have to... After every part in the second half, you have to go back to that temple on the very corner of the map, and there's no fast travel.
No.
And you go there for a quick cutscene and leave, and it's same cutscene every single time. So it's very tedious for sure. So some of the story beats were really, really tedious, but I feel like the dungeons and like the overworld parts, even though they were linear, were still pretty fun because those were like part of the dungeon. Like as you said, yourself.
Oh yeah, effectively there is no open world or open regions in Skyward Sword. Once you land, you're already in the dungeon. Like for the forest, for the desert, for the volcano.
Yeah,
they're part of the dungeon effectively because they're not really open regions. You still look at like the keys. You still have to figure out like how to get the item to get into the dungeon. So it just means as soon as you land, you're doing dungeoning, which is neat. I mean, the other games don't do that at all. So it's kind of a different take. But I could see why someone wouldn't appreciate that at all. Like, if you just don't like the dungeons in Zelda really all that much, then you're not going to like Skyward Sword.
That's because generally they're not that good, I feel. Most of the time, they're pretty brain dead. Which is okay for, like, younger people who are newer to games. And, like, they're like they get that satisfaction from completing some of these simpler dungeons, learning these mechanics. But, like, coming from a real gamer, that kind of perspective, it is kind of boring at some parts, but I feel like Skyward Sword definitely did it better. I feel like especially the kind of like the Hindu temple,
the heaven and hell motif. Yeah
that was really cool, really well themed, really cool music. Some of the puzzles were pretty fun. And then then the boss fight was really good. Like, I feel like a lot of the dungeon design, the boss fights were a lot of fun. But definitely, like, just the lack of exploration kind of took away from what I expect from a Zelda experience.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's also, like, you kind of go back to them, too. But it's because they're kind of designed like a dungeon. They're less interesting to go back and explore.
You come back for the cubes, kind of.
Yeah, I mean, there are spots where it's like, oh, I got this item now, or you know, this piece of equipment, so I can go, do this thing over here. But it's, there's something about it that isn't quite as enticing as going back and exploring like the overworld in Ocarina of Time or Twilight Princess.
Yeah, I mean, Terminia Fields and stuff like that, or Hyrule Fields, is just, it's fun to go out there and just find something new, find a new village, or find a new just person to talk to.
Yeah, I mean,
Skyward Sword doesn't have that.
In Wind Waker, you find a random island, then you get like an upgrade. Like, oh shoot, I didn't know this island would have an upgrade for me. That's kind of cool. You get like
Great Sea is the best.
Okay, the Great Sea, I don't know if I'd say the best, but definitely had some really strong points to it. There was a lot of fluff in it for sure, but it definitely had a lot more substance in it. It's just spread out, which I think was good for what it was going for.
7.8 out of 10.
Too much water.
The classic.
It actually is a ton of water, though.
It's my own hilarious and original joke. No one's made that one before.
Are Wind Waker and Oris the same thing? I think they are. Too much water.
Too much water. So one of the things that I was thinking about was that Tyler and I were Tip and I, excuse me, your real identity.
Yeah, my real legal name, please.
I'm doxing you. We've only played the original Skyward Sword. Gary has only played the Switch version. But I did have a friend of mine who was playing, and I remember asking him about the game and how he was feeling about it. And the thing that he was like really big on, he was really like, oh, it's so nice to play this game in HD 60 frames per second. And I thought that that was an interest. Like, I guess thinking about, like, you know, it's been so long since I've played that game, so I didn't think about how it probably looked like mud by today's standard. But like, Gary, how was it on the Switch? Was that crisp HD like as good as it sounds?
So it looked really good. The art style works really, really well. Looks like a painting, essentially. That's what everybody says. And like, it, I don't think I've ever experienced frame rate drops either. So it was a very solid experience, which is kind of different from what I expect from most Switch titles, honestly. and most like Wii titles.
Yeah.
I guess it's because it's an older Switch title.
Switch can run Wii games.
Yeah. This
flawlessly.
Breaking news, fellas.
Breaking news.
No.
Wait, for the frames, I mean, were there frame drops in the original Skyward Sword? I don't really remember that.
I don't think so, but it ran at 30 frames. This is an upgrade.
Yeah.
60 frames. That's twice as many frames.
I think it looked great. It felt great. I mean, yeah.
I think if I were ever to, if I go back and play it, it would be to be like, I want to know what it was like, what it's like to play this in HD, because that I think is definitely a draw that I always forget, even though it's literally called Skyward Sword HD, but I always forget that element of the fact, like, that's like one of the big selling points. I always think of the button controls, but I think it's great to hear that it runs great, because
I think Breath of the Wild looks better, but Breath of the Wild had more frame drops for sure because of the whole open world.
Don't ever go into the forest, those falling leaves, your frame rate goes into single digits.
It's the hardest enemy in the game in Breath of the Wild.
Unironically. Yeah. The Lost Woods. It's terrifying. I can't see anything.
I gotta say that in Skyward Sword, the lava temple particularly looked great. Like, the lava effect with the art style and the way the lighting kind of worked in there, I felt worked really, really well. And it was just very pleasant to look at. Like, it normally, like, lava temples are supposed to be, like, you know, foreboding and ominous. Not ominous, but, like, they're supposed to weigh on top of you. Like, I felt really relaxed in the lava temple. It was also one of my favorite temples in the game because of the whole rolling rock thing.
I was supposed to say, you do the rolling thing, which is fun.
Yeah, I guess you want to talk about, like, the dungeon design?
Yeah.
I guess.
I love the level design in most of this, I think.
I think it's probably some of the best they've had in terms of, like, dungeons, for sure.
Just like pitching the idea of, like, all right, you're on a pirate ship, but it's like the ruins of an old pirate ship, and you hit this magical gem, and then it becomes like a robot pirate ship. I'm like, I want a whole game about that.
It was cool. And then there was one puzzle in that one that got me, where you're like inside of another area of the pirate ship, and you have to shoot from inside out this little window and shoot the time changing
thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, that got me for a little bit. I'm like, oh, wow. Hey. That's pretty cool. And then, like, the lava temple where you're rolling on the boulder to go to all these little different, like, lava, not islands, but like parts of the dungeon that you can't really get to on foot. I thought that was a lot of fun.
Well, that's also neat because you do the rolling thing with the rock, and then you fight the boss, and the rocks are rolling for the boss. So, like, it kind of just, like, ties that motif together. Which, that's a fun boss too.
Oh, man. And we talked a little bit about the second forest temple, where it's kind of like
looking up
at that. Like, what do you call it? Is it like the lotus temple? Like, it's like a lotus flower.
I guess that's like that lotus ponds in the very beginning.
Yeah,
that was, it seemed very Hindu themes, which is, it's just super neat to look at.
It was really cool.
Yeah.
And then you have to kind of like manage the height of the central like hub thing. And make your way around the like the dark side with all the zombies.
This game really nailed the water temple this time around, it seems.
Yeah, it was a
lot of fun. Which is usually a pretty hard feat.
It didn't even like feel like a water. The one dungeon I hated though was the first dungeon. And I was kind of worried for some of it. The first dungeon is extremely boring.
It's really generic. It doesn't really do anything special at all.
Yeah, you go down the path and then you have to. What do you even have to do? You go down the path and you're in the central room. And it's right before you get the bug. And then as soon as you get the bug, you have to do a bunch of these slow things where you have to slowly shoot the bug, Steve.
It's Steve. To hit
the things. And that's like, it's not really a puzzle. It's just kind of like.
Isn't annoying. It just two switches like on the left and right side of the
room? It's two switches you have to hit with the bug.
Yeah.
So
hey, that dungeon has a really good boss, though.
But then you fight Girahim, and that kind of has to redeem it. And that was a really fun boss fight. I'm surprised you did such a fun boss fight that early in the game, too.
Get all of his glorious sass.
Yeah.
Yeah, I always kind of forget about that first dungeon because it is pretty run-of-the-mill, you know, overgrown forest dungeon.
I mean, the forest dungeon is always the first dungeon in the Zelda games. And they're always just
how original.
Yeah.
It kind of just exists.
The first level's a forest in a video game.
Daring today, are we?
Surprise.
Yeah.
How'd you feel about the last dungeon in Skyloft where you like have to move?
That was around? Sick. I loved the ending dungeon.
Right? I think that's super.
It combined, super cool. it was like an advanced version of all the other temples, and you had to rearrange the rooms to kind of unlock them. I thought that was sweet. It took a long time, and then some of it I don't even want to say it didn't drag on, because I think I was learning during that time. It wasn't like boring during that time. Mm-hmm. Like I thought it was fantastic. It was a great ending dungeon. I can't really remember a lot of the ending dungeons in the other games.
Yeah.
I remember like Hyrule Castle and Breath of the Wild. But that's because you can kind of do it however you want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like the Tower of the Gods and Wind Waker personally.
That one, I don't remember too much of it.
Other than that, though, they're kind of just okay.
I mean, most of the time, I don't really care for the dungeons are generally my least favorite part of most Zelda games. Because I feel most of the puzzles are geared towards a younger audience, maybe. And they just seem a little like simple, like shoot an eyeball on the wall. I am an
elite gamer.
Well, I think they just retread the same ground over and over again. Yeah, where, like, if you've solved a puzzle,
we're used to the patterns.
In any of the Zelda games, you can solve that puzzle in every single Zelda game.
You've played Ocarina of Time, you've seen most of the dungeons.
And I think that's why, like, when it's just kind of weird, and you're like, oh, hey, this is a cool dungeon. You know, like the final dungeon in Skyward Sword, where you have to like
it was
manipulate the entire dungeon, or the Hindu Lotus dungeon, where it's like it's heaven and hell is really cool, or like the Stone Temple in Majora's Mask, where like you invert the entire dungeon, things like that. Like they're super neat. Like you remember that,
or like
the stupid ass water temple in Ocarina of Time, which is a unique dungeon, but it's still stupid.
It's much less painful to do in the 3DS remake when you get
I've seen that
boots as an item. You don't have to like go into the menu every time.
Every 8 seconds.
Yeah, but even then, it's like that dungeon can be confusing.
I think that's a great thing of Skyward Sword 2. It got rid of the three item slot kind of deal. You have all your items just on a wheel, which makes so much sense.
Oh yeah, the quick select. Yeah.
It makes so much sense. Yeah, I love that they did that.
It's very savvy. Yeah,
and a lot of the items are really fun to use too. Like the whip is fun to use.
Just cracking the whip is fun.
The bow feels great in this game because of the gyro controls.
Mm-hmm.
And Steve, don't forget Steve.
Who? Yeah, I'm not talking about Steve. I'll leave that one out.
My boy.
You can upgrade the slingshot to be like a scatter shot, so you can deal with like bats and things.
Yeah, it's like a shotgun. It's cool.
It's like a shotgun. It didn't negate it, because I know like most of the games also give you a slingshot and the bow. And like, okay, so once you get the bow, there's no point in using the slingshot anymore.
Yeah.
But now there is. I mean, there actually still is, which is cool. And then the wind thing's not that useful, but it can stun enemies.
Yeah, I don't remember him using the wind thing very much. That's definitely
mostly a puzzle thing.
I mostly remember it from Smash Brothers. Then I
That's it. I forgot about that. That item sucks in Smash. I hate that. It's so annoying.
Yeah, but I really I will say I do like. It seems like a lot of these items they were like
they were good
with motion controls in mind. You know, like you whip the whip or whatever and stuff like that. But and then being able to upgrade them too is all. It's just I don't know. I like upgrade systems a lot. They're fun.
That was the one reason to return to other areas was to get more of the upgrade materials. Yeah. And I think that was a really good use of the more linear system. It made it feel better. Like I love the upgrade system in this.
Yeah, and it was great because it wasn't like
feel substantial too.
Yeah, you didn't like you don't have to get them. You could skip them entirely, but like they're so incredibly useful to get. There's like you want to go get them, but you could absolutely skip them if you didn't feel like doing.
Yeah, there wasn't a need to, but like yeah, I wanted the shotgun slingshot because some of the bats are annoying. I want to do that.
Yeah, and like getting Steve up to speed,
getting a bomb bag arrow. I upgraded that arrow bag like instantly. Arrows are so fun to use in this. Yeah. So, yeah, that was great. The shop was like a really good part of this, and then even the beetle shop was a lot of fun too because he's in like the sky and you'd like shoot him and like hey, let me up.
I feel like talking about the shop. Just wanted to bring up like. So the characters in this game in general are just I love their designs in this in particular. I feel like every character in this has a lot of personality behind them, even if they're just like a shopkeeper. A lot of people will point to like that one like weird slimy snake oil salesman guy that like raises his hands while you're like looking at him, and if you like turn around and walk too far he like sighs in disappointment and like walks back to his like corner all sad. It's just like stuff like that I love.
Don't forget the bank girl.
The bank girl.
You mean the thirst trap? Hell yeah. Thirst
trap. Oh my god. I love the characters of this game so much.
Yeah, and most of them funny. It helps that most of them you get a side quest for too.
It is an absolute hate crime we've gotten this far into the conversation and we haven't mentioned Gruus yet.
We have to save the best for last.
The legend of Gruus.
I know that before this episode, Gary, I was talking about having Gurahim in Smash. That was a lie. I actually want Gruus in Smash.
He's just on his bomb.
The Gruus is loose.
The Gruusinator. He's on the Gruusinator. Final Smash.
Do it, Nintendo.
I love Gruus. Coward. He's so funny. He's got the pompadour of Psylocke, essentially.
It's funny too because he has like the same. I think if I'm not mistaken, a lot of the characters have like the same hairstyle as their Sky Lofts.
They do.
Or their Loft Wings, excuse me.
I didn't realize that. That's cool.
Yeah. So his bird has the pompadour too. But Gruus like just goes through this character arc that I love. Like I'm just a sucker for that kind of character arc where he's just a total dickweed like at the beginning, and then you guys become homies by the end of it. I'm just like.
Well, because he accepts himself as not the main character, and he just wants to help,
and he rolls
in any way that he can, and
yeah,
it's very nice. It's endearing.
It's not like terribly original, but like, god dang it, I don't care.
Yeah, they do it well.
Yeah.
So I guess that brings up a good point. Like, I think the world building in Skyward Sword is like fantastic. Like the whole Skyloft. As an area, and then like the beneath the cloud world, I thought they did that fantastic. Like, I Skyloft is a completely believable place. I love the academy and like kind of roaming around the academy and just talking to all your fellow classmates and things, and like just seeing the town function. Like, you even see like Beetle like in his own little sky shop. It feels like a real world designed around just like floating sky based. Things and it's a really fun design,
and it feels like the characters themselves just have like that personality, or they have like something like a mission to them that gives them that little extra oomph. I don't remember what it is. It's like Beetle's like shop. If you like go on and you don't buy something,
he drops you.
He gets mad at you.
He pulls the trapdoor and you like fall.
You're making me pedal.
You're gonna really get in my shop, make me pedal like this, and then not buy anything, and then he like pulls the trapdoor on you. It's so good. You have like that whole side quest with the demon guy who's super fun. Like the spooky demon to get man. The
gratitude crystals. Yeah, I got
that's like you build the whole thing. Yeah, I mean, I feel like just like you look at some of the NPCs, a lot of the NPCs from like Wind Waker and things, and like there's some that are good, but like the majority kind of them feel kind of filler and bland. Same, I mean, like I can't tell you like three NPCs from Ocarina. From Majora's Mask, they do a little bit better because a lot of them like, again have their own side quests, but let them fill out their character a little bit more. I think the theme here is like give these characters side quests and things to do.
Instead of making a definite sense of like community and like wanting to contribute to Skyloft.
Which, I mean, ties into the game itself, because, like, you're a knight, so you're supposed to be helping these people. So it makes sense that Link would go around to, like, help these people with their dumb little requests.
Yeah.
And the side quests were all right. I mean, the side quests themselves, I felt, were good. I mean, I think they were definitely passing for me to enjoy them, but...
I definitely enjoyed, like, the interactions that led to, like, maybe the little mini story the side quest told versus, like, what I actually had to go do with those side quests more. But
yeah, and generally like having a reward be a gratitude crystal is like like eventually I'll get something decent. Like in Majora's Mask, you usually get like a mask or something, which is really cool because the mask, like you get like maybe the bunny ears for one, and that would make you run faster than like that's like super useful thing you can use. But you just kind of get gratitude crystals in Skyward Sword, and then eventually you get like a bigger wallet. Which, I mean, it's not something it's not like a nice upgrade. It's like something like, I kind of needed like this sculptures. To buy the thing in the store. Yeah, the sculptures were like, bam.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's as someone who just likes to
do all
that stuff anyways, I definitely enjoyed it.
Right.
And of course, any sort of interaction with the characters in Skyloft was just so much fun. Trying to remember, even over at the pumpkin place, isn't there like a you like can break the chandelier?
You have to break all the stuff.
They make you pay for it.
So it's just like, I mean, that's not really a little thing. That was a big thing, but like just things like that. I'm like, I love that. I just eat that up.
Yeah, I wish there was just a little bit more to like. I think Skyloft was good, but if they had more in the sky area,
if Skyloft had like that whole sky area had like. Two or three more islands, even just like that pumpkin like tavern, just an island with one building that had quite a couple some
people
of things
in
to
it.
Do on it.
Yeah, I think it would have been.
I think that would have helped tremendously.
It definitely felt empty. Like, I definitely think it did a lot of things right. What else do we have to talk about?
Music in this game. How's the music?
Oh, music's great. Skyloft theme, I immediately got that on my Spotify. Fantastic. I love Skyloft theme. The sky theme when you're riding around, also a good theme. Pleasure again, they got good music. Like
it's a Zelda.
Good time to plug our radio station, which will probably be up by the time you listen to this. We have a 24/7 Nintendo mostly. Radio station that's going to be playing, featuring only the most iconic tracks and some nice visuals.
The definitely most iconic tracks, and then like some of the ones that I just really liked.
There's definitely no bias. Don't let's
no,
not
no bias
let's not
here.
Send any messages okay. here. No bias here. On this podcast, we only have right opinions, okay?
Yeah, absolutely. Not skewed in any direction.
We can't call them opinions because they're facts.
Because they're facts.
And, they're definitely not
opinions and facts merged by money, anyway.
Which we have none.
The soundtrack's pretty good. It's a Zelda game.
There's not much else to say. It's pretty standard for a Zelda game. There's nothing too crazy about it. Like if you look at Breath of the Wild, obviously that's a huge change in the kind of tone that Zelda games usually do. It has a more dissonant feel to it and a lot more ambient, which I love. I love Breath of the Wild soundtrack. I think it's an absolute work of art. I love it. And it sounds pretentious, but like It's so good for all the right thematic reasons. Like it's a post-apocalyptic like wasteland essentially, and you have these like sparse piano riffs, and like these whenever you hit the Guardians or whenever you get to the Guardians, they have this like weird dissonant track that make you like really like unnerved. And anyway, I'm going off on a tangent.
But Gary, how does that compare to Majora's Mask?
Clockdown theme is fantastic, first of all.
But Majora's Mask did it better.
No, I actually think Skyward Sword soundtrack is better than Majora's Mask. Because Skyward Sword...
Holy crap, really?
Majora's Mask has... No, I lied. I like Majora's Mask more. Oath to Order is such a moving track. And then the third day, as like the moon is coming down to kill you all...
This is one of the moodiest tracks in like all of Zelda.
Yeah, no, you're right. Majora's Mask was way better than Skyward Sword in terms of that.
Yeah, that's right. We're here to put you.
I had to think about
it
for like one nanosecond.
What he was about to go off the beaten path.
You had lost your mind.
I was thinking about like Clockdown. I'm like, man, I can't think of anything else, but like Clockdown like changes over the course of the 3 days. I'm like, oh wait.
Gary forgot this is a Majora's Mask jerk fest.
It's not a jerk fest when it's right, though.
We're gonna have to like play Majora's Mask on a stream or something. And yeah. Hopefully we'll not be like contradicting our own opinions.
We're gonna play this game going, wait a minute, this sucks.
I was thinking about this, like we could also do like we have to go all the way back to like Monster Hunter 1 and play all the Monster Hunters and be like, man, I really miss this.
Man, I'm suddenly feeling really sick and I just won't be able to
do anything ever again. I guess I'll just die.
So, it is kind of funny though, like we're talking about this and it seems like that all three of us enjoyed Skyward Sword, you know, a pretty good amount, but that's not really the consensus for the community or just for gaming at large. Like a lot of people just don't like this game, but I think we had fun.
I think it's a very solid entry with the motion controls making it very unique, and I wish they kind of improved on that a little bit. But in terms of innovation elsewhere, like in Dungeon, like they did everything very solidly, but they didn't really, I feel like they didn't really innovate too much outside of the combat.
You know, what's really funny is I get what you're saying with it not feeling like they innovated, but at the same time, like outside of like Breath of the Wild, I also feel like this is like such a different like feeling Zelda game from all of the other ones, which I mean, I guess it's more linear. It's true for a lot of them, you know, but Wind Waker feels very different as well. But I don't know, to me, Skyward Sword just, it doesn't feel like any other Zelda. It's still very distinctly Zelda and it does very distinctly follow that Zelda formula, but it also manages to do it in its very different way that I can appreciate. And I also think, you know, a lot of people have ragged on Skyward Sword for the longest time and there are definitely problems with it, but I think a lot of people have also kind of, a lot of those issues have been fixed in this HD remake or remaster.
Yeah, it's definitely the definitive edition. For me it's definitely a very solid entry, and I did really enjoy my time with it. I don't know if it's something I would like to go back to really as much. Just because of, and I think it's mostly because of the linearity. And I don't think the linearity is bad. I think it still made it a very fun game. But the linearity does definitely make it less replayable, I think, in a way. I don't know.
Linear equals bad.
No, absolutely not.
I used to say that Skyward Sword was my favorite Zelda game.
Oh, really?
And then A Link Between Worlds came out, and then I said that was my favorite Zelda game. And
I never
played Majora's Mask 3D came out, and I said that was my favorite Zelda game. And then Breath of the Wild came out, and I said that was my favorite Zelda game. So what I realized is that my favorite Zelda game is whatever came out latest.
Wow. What a great opinion.
That's very it's very stoic of you, I guess.
Thank you.
To realize that.
I will say I don't know how they're going to top Breath of the Wild.
But with Breath of the Wild 2, obviously.
Obviously,
the Skyward Sword.
There's no way Breath of the Wild 2 isn't about to be my next favorite Zelda game.
It's gonna be great. It looks like Skyward Sword X Breath of the Wild, and like, ooh, that's everything we need.
I know, it is really funny. After, you know, I feel like It's funny, when they announced Skyward Sword was coming out, I feel like people were like, oh, what? Why would you do that? Everyone obviously wants you to port the Wind Waker and the Twilight Princess like ports to the Switch. Who cares about Skyward Sword? And I still see people be like, man, when are we going to get Wind Waker and Twilight Princess? But now they've announced Breath of the Wild 2, and there are very clear visual elements of that game that are very clearly pulled from Skyward Sword. And it's like, oh, this is all making sense from like a marketing perspective. They're putting this stuff together.
I'm hoping they take the beginning of the timeline and the end of the timeline, smush them together and say, screw your timeline. There's no timeline. Because it's stupid.
Sounds like Gary cares about the timeline just about as much as Nintendo does.
Which is clearly just a lot.
The only time Nintendo cared about the timeline was when they could use it to market Skyward Sword as the first game in the timeline. And then from there, it's like, well, we can't
You're use right, it they did money. Do that.
We can't use it to get money anymore. We already made the first game.
What if they made a prequel to Skyward Sword?
That wouldn't be The Legend of Zelda. That'd
be The Legend of Hylia, because it'd be Hylia's downfall. Yeah.
True. Where's my,
Wait a second, I would play that.
Hylia prequel?
Yeah. And then they can market Baby Groose as a
kid. Yeah. We're going to get Baby Loftwings and the Baby Loftwing plushies.
It's going to be Baby Yoda all over again.
They're going to sell a book, and it's going to have a timeline in it. It's going to be the exact same, except for we're going to have a new game at the beginning.
They did that with Sonic, the freaking mobile game for Sonic Forces. They're like, hey, you can play as Baby Sonic, which appeared for like one nanosecond in the movie.
Oh my god. Yeah. So dumb. Hey man, sells plushies or whatever. Yeah. Sells amiibos.
Yeah, it's all the bots.
I
wanted to really bring up what I think is most important is the little penguin boys in the forest.
Yo, those things
I
are
love
great.
Those guys.
What were they called?
So cute.
Queekies or something?
Where the heck were those at Breath of the Wild? Man.
I have no idea what you're talking about. What?
You don't remember the little penguin men?
I sure don't.
Okay, they do look like penguins, but they're not.
Okay, hang on. I'm about to Google penguins in Farron Woods, and if I don't get a result, I'm slapping you.
They're called Kikwis?
Kikwi.
All right. It wasn't the first result, but it was the second result, so I won't slap you today.
Okay.
How is that a penguin? What?
It kind of looks like a penguin.
No.
It's a little bird man.
I do remember those, though. Yeah.
They
look like kiwis, because that's the whole point.
They're pretty cute.
I love them.
Oh, my God. They are adorable. Crap. How did I forget these guys exist? Because they're very cute.
I did like them. I was surprised that they didn't use like Koroks or anything. But I like it when
I guess not each region. So
they have their own.
The Farron Woods had the Kikwis. The Elden had the mole guys, which are called Magmas.
I liked all the new species.
We had the robots. So.
I didn't care about the robots that much, but I like the thematically, I think they fit.
Yeah, no, I mean, it was kind of cool. Well, it's kind of sad at the same time, but it's kind of cool. Like you awaken the crystals and they come to life, and then you turn it off and they die again.
Yeah,
and
they immediately die.
Like they had your Goron. There was a couple Gorons around, and the Goron buddy's like, yeah, I'm adventuring.
Yeah, don't forget we exist too. Yeah, I appreciate them. I always appreciate them bringing out the new species and getting creative with it. I also like revisiting existing ones like Gorons, you know, the classics, but like, I also am like, when they bring out little Kikwis, I'm like, oh, I love these guys. I will protect them with my life.
And then they went extinct apparently. So,
And then apparently they died off and they were never seen in a Zelda game ever again.
Sad.
Makes me sad. Same with the Magmas. We literally watched the robots go extinct, so it's okay.
Yeah, they're already dead.
Way to be downers.
Did you ever see, so you go and find those like dragon guys or whatever, and they all like sing their song or whatever? You know what I'm talking about?
Fetch quest that happens at the end of every Zelda game? Yeah, I'm familiar.
Yeah. And then, like, but it's, like, cool because apparently if you, like, overlay all the songs together, it, like, puts this, it's, like, the theme.
Cool. Doesn't erase right, the fetch fine. Quest.
I don't even remember. Well, okay, I remember going into Farron Woods and it being flooded. I don't remember.
That was cool.
I don't remember the other two. Oh, you go into Elden the one and you where lose all your stuff.
Yeah, that was kind of fun too. And then the sand one was you do the minecart thing, kind of.
I don't remember that.
It was like it was the Donkey Kong ripoff where you have to do the minecart.
Oh, you know, I am vaguely remembering a minecart thing in there, but
that one was all right. The Goron one. The lava one was really fun though.
How'd you feel about the Silent Realms, Gary?
I like the Silent Realms only because I didn't fail at them and have to do them over again. I felt like if I failed and had to do them over again, I would hate them. But like I thought they were really fun and tense because there was a few times where they were chasing.
They're super tense.
They're very tense. If you like screw up a little bit, I thought they were cool, but I would not want to like do them over. They were very. I remember
playing them as a wee lad when the game first came out, and they terrified me to no end. I hated them with a burning fiery passion because they stressed me out so bad. And then when I played it again in master mode, like I appreciated them much more. I thought they were quite fun. Once I like kind of, cause I knew my way around the game and how to play it. It wasn't new to me anymore. So it was, I just was able to enjoy it for what it was.
Yeah. I know I said waggling the flap was my least favorite thing of Skyward Sword. I lied. It's the Silent Realms.
You don't like
waggling is definitely solid second place, though.
It was fun.
I thought they were just tedious and annoying. Neat, like the whole stealth section thing where it's like this different gameplay in Zelda, but I just didn't think they were fun at all.
Yeah, I really didn't enjoy them when I first playthrough, and it really took me a second playthrough to get to the point where I was like, you know what, actually, I did kind of enjoy that. I had fun.
Yeah, if you just think it's tedious, that's probably not
going to
be.
You got really muffled.
What have you done? Ryan, are you okay?
If you think that it's just boring and tedious, then that's probably not going to get fixed on a second playthrough.
Hmm. Probably not.
No. All right. I think we about exhausted what we had to say about it, don't you think? Yeah. We can keep it going if you want.
Did we talk about the final boss fight, boy, with Demise?
Oh, Demise? Demise was a great fight, I thought.
Yeah,
it was pretty. Only if you knew what you were doing. Like, if you didn't know how to parry or do the Skyward Strike right, it was terrible. Yeah.
I just remembered the one time I had problems with motion controls, and it was trying to get the Skyward Strike to charge while fighting Demise.
Yep, that was me too. It wasn't triggered for me. I'm like, other than that, if the motion controls worked right 100% of the time, I think it'd be a fantastic fight.
Yeah. Yeah, I enjoyed it quite
a bit. But that's not the fight's fault. It's the hardware's fault.
Yeah. Oh, well. How does the Skyward Strike work in, I guess you just hold up on the joystick?
Yeah, you just hold up on the joystick.
Yeah, that's probably much more straightforward.
It's extremely straightforward.
Yeah.
I guess that makes sense.
That would definitely fix it. Because I think the Skyward Strike, if anything ever did give me trouble in terms of motion controls, it was getting
the Skyward Strike. Yeah, me too. They should have had a much more lenient area for that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's it.
Zelda, yeah, I mean, overall,
Zelda's design. How'd you feel about Zelda's design?
Oh, I think Skyward Sword is just like the best Zelda.
You like Link's in terms fat of, lips in this game?
I don't like the noses in this game because they're like
they're
kind
very
of like,
prominent.
They're very prominent, and I didn't like the lips.
It's theming, okay? It's
part. But I mean, I liked the characterization of all the characters. I think that was the best.
Their noses match their loft wings or something, probably.
Yeah, probably.
Just like the hair. I really liked Link's design, except for his dumb lips. I thought those looked stupid.
Yeah, the lips were
If they fixed his lips, he would look like, that would be like one of my favorite, like Green Tunic Links. And then Zelda's design took a while to to grow on me. But after like a while, I actually quite liked it. And like I said, way before we were recording that, I was really looking forward to her being in Smash and was really bummed when they used Twilight Princess again. But oh well. I will say, her in just a plain white dress, I wasn't big on. I liked her lot. I liked her Skyloft.
Yeah, her Skyloft outfit's so pretty cool.
The just the white dress is kind of boring, but whatever. It's fine.
You don't sound triggered about it or anything.
Furahim, absolute peak character design, all time.
Creepy, that was, tongue,
perfect. Nice tongue.
Tongue's great.
And then Groose, the Chad of Chads.
Yeah, honestly, overall, fantastic character design.
Yeah. NPCs are very memorable.
I remember like all the game NPCs
way more than I do in other Zelda games or games in general, just because they're just oozing personality a lot of the time. I love it.
But yeah, overall, sounds like we all enjoyed Skyward Sword a lot. You know, definitely not the best, but like it had a lot of strong points and it did a lot of things better than other Zelda titles, but also some things where it's like exploration. And
where yeah. would you?
I mean, it's not the worst Zelda game. So,
where would you put it on the scale of 3D Zeldas?
Probably. I mean, honestly, probably on the. I don't know. Near the bottom. The bottom.
Say it. Yeah.
But like, I like all of them a lot, but probably near the bottom.
I would put. I need to play Twilight Princess again because I haven't played.
Yeah, that I need to play. Like I haven't played that lifetime, in such a long time.
I would put Skyward Sword above Wind Waker and Ocarina of Time.
I have to replay Wind Waker as well. Wow. I don't know. I think I would put Wind Waker higher, but I haven't played it again. So
yeah,
we'll see.
Skyward Sword above Wind Waker and Ocarina of Time. That's a bold opinion, Ryan. And I can hear pitchforks being sharpened already.
I think I like Ocarina better. Than Skyward.
This is why we come up with our.
But like, and I'm not even like a super stan for Ocarina of Time, but I think I like Ocarina better than Skyward. Just because I think it's like a solid game, and it has the exploration elements that I like. But I don't know, I could be wrong.
Yeah, I mean, anything can change in terms of me just like playing a game again and
yeah,
you know, being like, you know what, I played that game.
They're all good.
I played Skyward Sword when it came out, which was like over 10 years ago, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's been a hot minute since I played the game, but I remember really, really enjoying that game. And then, you know, I played, Ocarina of Time 3D, and I enjoyed Ocarina of Time 3D, obviously, but I think that I remember liking Skyward Sword more. Maybe I'd play HD and be like, eh.
All right. We're out of time. Thank you guys for joining us. That was our thoughts on Skyward Sword. We hope you let us know what you think in the comments below. Remember to follow us and check us out and check out our new radio that's coming up, 24/7 Nintendo Radio.
Gonna have some of that great Skyward Sword music in there, maybe. Do we have Skyward Sword music?
We do have Skyward Sword music in there.
Heck yeah, we have Skyward Sword music in there. Let's go.
We'll see you there. Bye.
Bye.